KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A tentative ceasefire deal has been reached between Israel and Hamas. The first phase would bring the release of 33 hostages, including two Americans held for more than 460 days. Boosting aid into Gaza and reconstruction after Israeli troops withdraw also up for grabs. ABC's Martha Raddatz has more.
The destruction there is enormous. 2.6 million people, 90%, it is estimated, have been displaced, and Hamas says 46,000 have been killed.
President Biden says elements of the deal are similar to the plan he introduced last May. He delivers his final address to the nation tonight before leaving office. Confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill continue today for President-elect Donald Trump's key cabinet picks. It included Marco Rubio for Secretary of State and Pam Bondi, tapped to be Attorney General. Crews in Southern California still dealing with strong winds for one more night. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Thanks to the quick thinking and observational skills of bank employees, a suspected bank robber was arrested less than 20 minutes after police received the call. The Wells Fargo branch on South State Street in Appleton was robbed Tuesday morning. Police recovered the money when they arrested a 63-year-old Appleton man who is being held in the Outagamie County Jail. The suspect is expected to face charges of robbery. The Wisconsin DOT and Governor Tony Evers announced the WIS 47 and WIS 55 improvement project in the Menominee Nation will receive a $25 million grant from the Federal Rebuilding American Infrastructure with Sustainability and Equity Program. The RAISE program supports surface transportation infrastructure projects with significant local or regional impact that are difficult to fund through other programs. The project will resurface nearly 40 miles of road and replace about 100 culverts. Road improvements will include safety features such as guardrail upgrades, centerline rumble strips, shoulder widening, and 6-inch pavement marking, as well as the relocation of a pull-off area near Markton and multimodal improvements near Neopit, including lighting, ADA-compliant curb ramps, and sidewalk replacements. There's a lot of money already flowing in the race for the state Supreme Court. Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Announced candidates have released fundraising forms with the race already breaking fundraising records. Susan Crawford says she's got $2.8 million. Brad Schimmel's report shows $2.2 million raised. The race is expected to surpass the previous record-breaking $51 million spent in the 2023 Protasiewicz-Kelly contest. Estimates suggest total spending could reach $80 million.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
The Bucks clobber the Kings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks jumped out to an early lead and beat the Kings 130-115. Milwaukee with a 21-2 run in the first quarter. Doc Rivers.
We came out, played the right way, ball moved. You know, I think seven or eight guys had over 9 attempts, you know, 45 threes. That just tells you the ball's moving.
College hoops, Greg Gard gets his 200th career win as Wisconsin held on to win 70-68 over Ohio State at the Kohl Center. David Joplin with 30 points as Marquette gets past DePaul in overtime, 85-83. NFL, Matt LaFleur on what does Jordan Love need to improve as the Packers quarterback.
I think the next step is just to continue to evolve as a vocal leader. I think that just kind of comes with the position naturally. And I think he's taken steps to get there, but I think he can really demand a lot because the locker room, they respect him.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A patch or two of freezing drizzle or flurries possible this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight and rising temps through the 20s. Warmer tomorrow, more clouds, a high in the mid-30s. Upper 30s Friday. For the weekend, much colder temperatures and a bitter breeze. Currently 21 degrees.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Thursday's show, we have Kristen Ambos from Point Mortgage talking about those mortgage rates, and Rob Domofsky from ESPN.
And Addie Tears from Special Olympics talks about the upcoming polar plunge in Green Bay. Join us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome, Wisconsin. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. We are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay on what a day that almost seems tropical compared to yesterday. I'm not going to lie. What do you think, Conrad? It was nicer today.
It's still really cold.
You live in Wisconsin, buddy. What do you expect?
You know,
embrace it.
You know how I know it's like winter's in full effect now? Is today I sneezed and my nose started bleeding.
Oh, that's a lot of information.
Because it's so dry.
So dry.
Just a normal sneeze. I was like,
horrible.
There it goes.
I know. That's just the worst. You got a humidifier? You have a humidifier? Have that, right? This is Nightlight. It's great to have you wherever you're joining us from in Wisconsin. Welcome, welcome. We have a great show tonight. We will try to warm you up with insightful conversation with great guests tonight. Maybe we'll have a laugh or two along the way. We'll talk about some music and the goings-on in the business we call show. It is Wednesday, and I don't know, a Wednesday in mid-January, it's just like, I don't want to sound like a downer, but that is pretty much the suckiest time of year.
Yeah.
There's no gelato. If I wanted gelato right now, I couldn't even go next door and get gelato.
I don't even know where you could get gelato right now.
I don't want gelato right now. I'm just saying, if I wanted gelato, are they even open? Like, can you even go there and get coffee?
I think they closed for the season.
Oh, man, that's just so Bush League. All right, we have a great show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about storytelling tonight. We've got kind of a theme. We've got storytellers on the show as guests. Both of them, don't ask me how I did this, folks, both of them have a connection to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Some might argue the UP should actually be part of Wisconsin, if you look at the map.
I agree.
Would that make us a greater state, or would it not really matter? I mean, the UP is a beautiful place. And some great movies have been shot there. We've had our first guest tonight, Jody Hinman, is about the fourth author we've had from the UP since we've been on the air. And Northern Wisconsin has a lot of authors, too. I don't know what the connection is, but that just seems like a great place for creative people to go and think of ideas and write books. Jody Hinman is our guest at 6:35. She will be in studio. She and her husband, Chris, made the drive down from the UP. That is dedication. She has a new book. It's called The Hole They Dug. Let me double check that. The Hole They Dug for Me. I closed my browser, Conrad. I got nothing in front of me. What is happening?
like you trying to say British before.
The Hole They Dug for You. I couldn't say the word British. Yeah, every once in a while I have trouble focusing on a word. And it was coming out like British. Finally, though, I nailed it. I nailed the word. Jody Hinman is here, folks, at 6:35. She is an author who just recently got her first book published. It's called The Hole They Dug for You, a novel. And it's gotten pretty good reviews so far. It's out there for your consumption, just recently released. I've known Jody for a few years now. She is a great girl, and I'm very excited for her to have her first book published. She'll be here in just a few minutes, and we'll talk to her about the book, and we'll let you know where you can get it. Who doesn't love a good mystery? When I read, I don't read anymore. I'm not a reader. I was an English major when I was younger, and I was a voracious reader. But I have no attention span anymore. So I don't read as much, but when I do read, I love mysteries. And Jody's book is a good mystery. So we'll discuss that at 6:35. And then, Conrad, are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. I know Conrad's excited for our second guest, as am I. I'm more excited to have our second guest on to talk to him as a filmmaker. Conrad, I think, likes the Packer angle more. Either way, it's going to be great to have this guy on the show. Anders Lindwall will be here. He's the director of Green and Gold, a new film that will be coming to theaters July 31st. And there is a Packer connection. A farmer, played by Craig T. Nelson, bets everything, bets the farm, literally, on the Packers. And Anders got a great cast for this film. He is also a native UPite. Is that how we say that? Anders.
Uper?
Uper. Yeah, Uper is the way to go, I think. UPite is awkward and clunky. Yeah. Uper is familiar. Anders will be here at 7:30 over the stream. I can't wait to talk to him. He got Brandon Sklenar in this film. Brandon is in the show 1923. He plays kind of this badass Dutton. 1923 is a spinoff of Yellowstone. In my opinion, much better than Yellowstone. A really good show. Season 2 drops in February. And Brandon is one of the stars of that show. And he's kind of the coolest character on the show, in my opinion. But he's a real up-and-comer. And he is in Green and Gold, along with Craig T. Nelson. M. Emmett Walsh. I want to say this is M. Emmett Walsh's last movie before he passed away last year. Emmett Walsh is probably best known for slapping the rubber glove on and giving Fletch the the exam of, how do you say that? What's a tasteful way to say anal cavity. But Emmett Walsh is in the film, Madison Lawler. Charlie Behrens, I think, has a cameo. It looks like a great film, a serious Packer connection, and Anders is a director that is on the rise. I don't know if this is his first feature film. We'll ask him about that. He's got other credits, but I know he's done some commercial work. And this film has been very well received, though, and I'm very excited to see it. It hits theaters January 31st, so we'll talk to Anders at 7:20. A fun show. That leaves us, folks. I don't think we should mess around anymore. Let's get to the question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is the worst name for a band? The worst name ever that you've heard. I'll go first. They had a couple tunes I really liked in the 90s, but Toad the Wet Sprocket.
What?
That's the name of the band, Toad the Wet Sprocket. And I don't know where it came from. I actually meant to Google it earlier. But they had a great song called All I Want. In the 90s, it's such a bad name.
I wonder how they got that.
Wet Sprocket would have been better. Toad would have been better. Toad Sprocket. But Toad the Wet Sprocket. Hard to say, too long, terrible name. No offense to Toad the Wet Sprocket. I know they're big listeners of the show. But what do you think? There's some terrible band names out there. Conrad, do you have one?
I have one that's not real, but it's hilarious because it was in my favorite show, How I Met Your Mother.
Are you biased then because of that? Or
maybe. But it is a terrible name, and the guy who says it doesn't realize that it's bad. So this episode,
like, realize what it means?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So in this episode, Simon, he's an ex-boyfriend of Robin, and he wants to get back together. And they're all of them are around the table. And he's in a band. So they ask, oh, what's your band name? He goes, The Foreskins. And then they look at each other and they're like, how'd you get that name? He gives them a look like, okay, these guys are stupid. He goes, well, there's four of us and we don't wear shirts.
I laugh maybe more at that. I laugh at guys that are clueless and don't know that they said something that is related to penis somehow. It just makes me laugh when people are that clueless. That's a good one. That's actually not a terrible band name, because it's like a lot of band names are kind of sexual or have to do with love or sex or whatever. I Googled terrible band names, and I don't understand, like, the criteria. They have Goo Goo Dolls. Not great. Creedence Clearwater Revival. I don't hate that. Def Leppard. That's not a bad. That's, I mean, maybe not great, but they've had hits. So I guess you don't care. You don't really question the name when they've had success. Green Day. I actually like that band name. Nickelback. I don't know what that means, but there's nothing wrong with that name. There's one name, one band name that comes up in the Google search, Anal Vomit.
Yeah.
Do you just want people to hate your songs?
I don't know where they'd get that from.
I have an idea. Bowling for Soup. Okay. There's like some band names probably are just thought of and they think, well, we'll think of something else later. And then they have a hit and it's like, oh, we can't change our terrible band name. Creed. I like that name too. Dogs Die in Hot Cars. These are the these are the Google results that come up. Chumbawamba, awful. Limp Bizkit. That's probably some kind of sexual thing I'm not aware of. But there's a lot of bad band names out there.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hootie and the Blowfish. Kind of weird.
Oh yeah, where did the Blowfish come from?
Well, Blowfish is a thing. Hootie's a guy who likes to surround himself with blowfish. Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's a great one.
Yeah, how is that one bad?
I don't know. The Square Roots?
The Sex Pistols?
Sex Pistols. That's obviously, I mean, come on. Use your imagination, right? Mookie Blaylock. Here's a question for you. Do you know what band originally was named Mookie Blaylock?
No.
Pearl Jam.
Oh, really?
They were a fan of the basketball player Mookie Blaylock. And they settled on Pearl Jam, which is another, also a sexual thing. So there you go. Rock and roll bands are rooted in kind of risque terminology. But some of the names work. Radiohead, great name.
Here's another basketball player that could work as a name.
Yeah.
Spud Webb.
Spud Webb?
That would be a cool band name.
How about Giannis Antetokounmpo?
I don't think they'd get to the point there at every.
There's a lot of. Okay, so let us know, what is your least favorite band name? What's the worst band name? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. You can text us on the app, the Civic Media app. If you haven't downloaded it, folks, what are you waiting for? So easy to use. There's just a little icon there. You hit it and text us and get a hold of us one way or the other, but just get a hold of us. We love when you participate in the show. I said that on purpose, by the way. That wasn't like my British. I'm still having trouble saying
you're
British.
Having word soup today, you know.
British. There we go. All right, I can go to break knowing I said the word properly. Really fun show tonight. Green and Gold director Anders Lindwall will be here. Author Jody Hinman. Two UP-based wonderful human beings. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Get the pound, so you're tired, just wanna close your eyes, follow your dream guy.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay. Bay. Get your GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
Welcome back. We were talking about fasting last night, and I got a message from Todd Michaels, the producer of Mino and the Mayor, who said he's been fasting. And that was a really fun segment with Sherry Stoka, who told us the benefits and the not-so-great benefits of fasting. And I am a proponent of it. I think it's great. And I had no idea Todd was doing it. He said it's been good for him, too. I guess it's different for everybody, but that was a fun discussion. What's the longest you think you could go without eating food?
Oh, I've done some fast before in college, actually, but I don't know.
What was the occasion? The longest, you just trying to drop weight?
I think the longest I went was like 12 or 13 hours.
It's not that long.
No.
I don't even know.
I don't know if I need to risk anything with doing a full 24 hour, you know?
That is such an American. I can't go 14 hours without food. I'll die. But
I was worried I was going to like pass out or something. You know
yeah.
What I mean?
No, I was scared. The first time I did it, I was like, how is this going to affect me? What if I like faint or what if I, but I, the first time I did it, I did like a 36 hour fast and it felt just because of the sense memory of food and taking in food on a regular basis, I felt hunger pangs. But once you do it, it's not that hard.
How much water did you drink?
Probably 60 to 70 ounces for the day. Some people go crazy with water. I don't. I feel like, you know, every time there's a craze and something comes out, 6 months later, 2 years later, whatever, like, oh, wait, actually, we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to drink 4,000 gallons of water a day because it taxes the kidneys. So I try to get enough water. I try to, on a typical day, drink about 50 to 60 ounces, which I think is less than they say you should drink, but not... But it's enough, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they say that if you drink enough water, like you shouldn't be getting those cravings.
Right. And fasting's not that tough either because you can drink coffee, tea, water. I mean, and if you stay busy, it's not bad. The minute you feel yourself start to get hungry, you just get up and get moving. It really does help. Our question tonight is, what is the worst band name? For me, Toad the Wet Sprocket. I don't even know what it means. It just bothers me. And it's always bothered me since the 90s, even though I liked a couple of their tunes. They're a good band. That's a bad name. Conrad, I almost said Conrad likes the Foreskins, but you actually, that was your least favorite band name. That would have come out all wrong.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad name for
that's a pretty bad name
for a band.
Jameson from the 814. We haven't heard from Jameson for a while. Good to have you back, Jameson. He says, it's not the best name, but Toad is great. I've seen them live many times, and they opened for my favorite band, Guster, this year. That's crazy. So they're still touring. He says, worst band name, Hoobastank, as well as the Cherry Poppin' Daddies. I don't know what Cherry Poppin' Daddies really flows, and it's cool, but it sounds bad. So I'll put that on the list. That's an old band, though, I think. Hoobastank, though. Man, that's awful. Those are great ones, Jameson. Toad the Wet Sprocket, still out there. Still gigging. Monica in Mount Horeb says, Hole always gave me a gross visual. Mott the Hoople always seemed odd to me. Just looked it up. It was the name of a book. Okay. That's a good one. Anna from Madison says, Hi, Pete and Conrad. The worst band name is Kajagoogoo, an English pop band from 1983. I remember them, Anna, and they sang the song Too Shy. And I actually liked that song. But yeah, Kajagoogoo. Again, I think these people, they get together, they have a couple jam sessions, and they're like, hey, wouldn't it be goofy if we named our band this? And then it ends up sticking. No pun intended for the Goo Goo. But yeah, those are good too. Thank you, Anna. Steady Eddie, a little early tonight. Steady Eddie must have set his alarm for the show. He says, no worries, Pete. I've always believed that any man or woman who can only spell or pronounce a word in one way lacks imagination, skill, and creativity. I think of you, Pete, as the Picasso of wordsmithing. Oh, man. Well, thank you, Steady Eddie. Even though I can't say British. Steady Eddie continues saying, for lack of creativity for a band name, how about The Band? Yes. Not much thought went into that. The Band. Conrad's mom checking in says, I don't like names that you can't pronounce. Like when Prince changed his name to a symbol. Oh, that's really good. Yeah, that one makes no sense whatsoever. What do you do with that too? It's just like, that's just someone getting famous enough where they can say, I can do whatever I want. I can change my name to something that makes no sense and make my fans' lives miserable. I love Prince, but yeah, I totally agree. Steve from Florida, he's in the 920, says, Grandma Krieger says, worst band name in history, the Rolling Stones. Just joking. Oh, I was about to have words with your dad.
Yeah.
That would have been weird. Good joke, though. He says, worst band name, the Butthole Surfers. Punk rock group from the early 80s. Yeah.
Can't say I heard of them.
Oh, really? I remember them in college. Yeah, the Butthole Surfers. That's just, but that, you know, when people form bands, they're young and stupid. Have some musical talent. You combine those two, you're going to get band names like the Butthole Surfers. So there you go. Keep those texts coming, folks. What is the worst band name? I say Toad the Wet Sprocket. Conrad says the Foreskins. Steve says the Rolling Stones, but he's just kidding. But let us know what you think. Always more fun when you guys participate and join Nightlight. What is the worst band name ever? Have you been following the Tom Brady stuff, his announcing foils?
I mean, not. I didn't go into it after yesterday when we talked about it, to be honest.
I bring it up again because I just submitted an article. It'll be on civicmedia.us. Part of the fun for me is the comments. When people go crazy, they get irate that Tom Brady is messing up. Like they expect more out of an ex-jock. I don't get it. And some of these, one of the comments I said, the guy says, proud sports fan here. What are you proud of?
Proud sports fan.
Doesn't take anything to be a sports fan. I'm a proud get dresser every day. I get dressed every day. Doesn't make any sense. All right. We have a fun show tonight, if you haven't already guessed. If the listening so far hasn't indicated that this is going to be a killer show, you're in for a treat. Jody Himnen joins me next after Civic Media. Pardon me. Award-winning news team keeps you informed. Jody will be here talking about her book, a new book. She is a first-time published author, which is exciting. The Hole They Dug for You will be. And then Anders Lindwall will be here at 7:20 talking about his new film, Green and Gold, which opens January 31st. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Governor Tony Evers says he's working to reform gun laws in Wisconsin, and he'll face resistance from Republicans. Madison Bureau Chief Savannah Tomei-Olson explains.
The governor says he'll be looking at things like red flag laws, expanding background checks, and gun storage laws. In 2019, Evers called lawmakers to a special session to address gun violence. Republican leaders famously called the legislature into session and immediately adjourned, gaveling in and gaveling out, something they've done multiple times since. Now, since Evers took office, state Democrats have proposed at least 30 bills they say would make Wisconsin safer. But none of them have passed because Republicans haven't supported them and they have control of the legislature. Evers signed an executive order creating the Office of Violence Prevention, surrounded by advocates and leaders. Here's the big question. Can he get Republicans on board?
Just weeks after a school shooting took the lives of a student and an educator who never returned home, common sense gun safety reform and reducing crime and gun violence must finally be a shared priority that transcends politics and partisanship. Reducing crime and violence should be an issue that receives earnest bipartisan support this session.
To create this new Office of Violence Prevention, Evers used $10 million from leftover federal funding to get it started. But going forward, it'll need money allocated in the state budget to keep it going, and that is up to the legislature. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
Meanwhile, Culver's announced yesterday that its fundraising efforts for Abundant Life Christian School totaled $165,000. 80 locations participated in the fundraiser on January 6th following the deadly shooting in December. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Doors lead singer Jim Morrison was found dead in a bathtub in 1971. Some believe he faked his own death. A new docuseries, Before the End, Searching for Jim Morrison, takes a closer look at the rock star who was only 27 when he fled to Paris, supposedly to get away from fame. Director Jeff Finn features Morrison's brother Andy and his sister Anne, as well as archival footage as he dives deep into the singer's life and death. The three-episode documentary can be streamed on Apple TV for $7.99. Stop the presses. Robert De Niro will be playing a gangster in a new mob film. If that's not fun enough, De Niro's rival gangster in said mob film will be played by Robert De Niro. The film Alto Nights will tell the story of a 1950s dispute between legendary New York gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese, who were once best friends but became adversaries. The film will be directed by Barry Levinson. How great would it be if De Niro received an Oscar and a Razzie for the same movie? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A patch or two of freezing drizzle or flurries possible this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight and rising temps through the 20s. Warmer tomorrow, more clouds, a high in the mid-30s. Upper 30s Friday. For the weekend, much colder temperatures and a bitter breeze. Currently 21 degrees.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Governor Evers announcing a new Office of Violence Prevention, talking about gun safety. And J.R. Ratcliffe, talk all things sports in hour number two. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Get up, I want to drive.
Pop and Daddies. Okay. Karen from the 920 says, wow, Cherry Pop and Daddies has a whole new meaning. And now that I'm an adult, I can only imagine what my mother thought when I was listening to them as a child. And it's so funny when you're young, you always think your parents don't know anything about like rock and roll or sex or whatever. So you always feel like you're putting one over on them. I'm sure they knew. Drake from Green Bay, that's the 920. He says, when I sell a vacuum, people ask me how often to change the bag. I say the vacuum bag should not be NFL regulation full. It should be Tom Brady full. Think about that, Conrad. He's a cheater.
I think that's a great comparison.
I forgot he was a cheater. I didn't even
he jokes about it. Like, you know,
because he can do that because he's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He's making $375 million bucks over 10 years to go. That was a good pass. Drake from Green Bay says everyone understands. They get the Tom Brady thing. That's right. Text us at 855-752-4842. You can let us know whatever you're thinking about the show. It's great when you guys contribute, or let us know your least favorite band name. We've had some good answers so far. You can let us know on the stream. Conrad, how can people watch the radio?
Yeah, so on Facebook, we're under WISS, Nightlight with Beach Chihuahua, and WGBW. On YouTube, WGBW or Civic Media. And on Twitter, Civic Media or WGBW.
That's good. Get a hold of us. Just do it. However you do it, send us a letter in the mail. Catch up on your correspondence. This is exciting, folks. I have a guest that I'm very excited to have in the studio. I've known her for 9 years now. 9 years. But not as an author. I met you. You were an actress at the time, and we were both in the same movie, and we've stayed in touch, and now you have your first book. Her name is Jody Hinman, and she wrote a book called The Hole They Dug For You. I keep wanting to say The Hole I Dug For You.
Yeah, a lot of people.
That's creepy.
I know. Well,
it's a creepy title.
Yeah.
How are you doing, first of all? You drove all the way from the UP to be here in Green Bay. That's exciting.
Yes, I really wanted to have the in-studio experience.
Yeah, well, so, I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's more fun this way.
More fun, exactly. Yeah. Is this a trip to the big city for you? You live in the UP.
No.
No, okay.
I lived in the Detroit area for almost 20 years, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been around a bit.
I've been around a bit.
Yeah, but the UP is nice. Yeah. It's peaceful up there. It's serene, would you say?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Yeah. I'm really enjoying living there. Okay. My husband is actually from there, and I have family roots there as well.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. My grandfather was born and raised in Crystal Falls.
Where is Crystal Falls?
So that would be, it's more central.
Central UP?
Central UP.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you in the Iron Mountain area?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a beautiful area.
It is.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about the UP. But first, let's get this out of the way. Full disclaimer. I met you on the set of Aquarians, a film that my friend Mike McGuire. Conrad, I still can't talk tonight.
Yeah, it's bad.
You're here on a really bad night, Jody. Just letting you know. Mike McGuire made a film called Aquarians in Marinette. And I shot a film there a couple decades ago called The Godfather of Green Bay. I thought, I'll never act in another movie in Marinette, Wisconsin again. Well, lo and behold, here comes Mike, who's a native. And he shot his film there. So it was really fun to be part of that as well. And that's where I met you. You played my wife in the movie. Do you remember your name?
I do. Mrs. Marks.
Mrs. Marks.
Jean.
They did give you a first name.
Jean.
I was Tom Marks, a former high school teacher to the boys. And you played my wife. We got to do a church scene together, which was fun. Yeah. We had some marital issues in our short time together, even though it was a fictitious marriage. We had some issues.
You were kind of gruff.
Was I gruff? Was I inattentive? But anyway, that was fun. So that's how we met. We kept in touch with the occasional, how's it going? What are you working on? I know you were trying to write back then too. And what I'm so excited about, Jody, is that I meet so many people that say, I'm working on something. I have an idea. Everybody has those, right? And those are great to have. But you just followed it through. And now you are a published author. And I think that is so cool. So congratulations for that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. So with that in mind, tell us about the book, The Hole They Dug For You. It sounds creepy. I'm guessing it's a mystery.
It is. It's not as creepy as the title would
suggest.
Indicate, yes.
Okay.
The story is about an artist, Ellie Bauer, And the story picks up about a year after her husband has died unexpectedly from a heart attack. And at this, when the story picks up in the beginning, she's just now coming out from underneath the dark cloud she's been living under since the loss of her husband. And she's out in the woods. She's looking for her dog who had run off. And she comes across a group of nefarious men.
Okay.
And they're up to no good.
As nefarious men often are.
They are up to no good. And they are an exacting revenge on someone. And Ellie actually comes to his rescue, and the story is about what happens after that.
Okay.
She gets herself in a really dangerous pickle, and you see what develops and how she gets out of it, if she gets out of it.
Yeah, don't give away, no spoilers.
Yeah, right.
Tell us about Ellie Bauer, your main character.
Ellie is, as I said, she's an artist, and she is a very lovely woman. Salt of the earth, as good as they come. She thinks of other people before herself.
Okay.
And does for others. But she's had a very rough upbringing. She comes from an abusive family situation. So she's out of this, and she's kind of leading a sheltered life for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a while.
Until she sees something she shouldn't see.
That's
yeah.
Right. That's
is
right.
Ellie based on anybody?
No, she is not.
I noticed the first line when I was reading it said she lives on a 40-acre spread in the UP. I was like, oh, this is Jody. I don't know how many acres you own or what, but there's a little bit of all of us in the characters we write, I think. Who is Ellie based on, if anybody?
Ellie is based on no one.
Okay.
There may be, she's a little bit of a spitfire sometimes, which, I've been told once or twice that might apply to me, but I grew up with three brothers. So, you know how it goes. You have to be a little bit tough.
Yeah, exactly. Spitfire's good. It's that's not a terrible thing to be called, I think.
Everyone's in the family.
The family full of Spitfires.
Yeah. The females, right. We're nice until you cross us, I guess.
Yeah. Good to know. So let me ask you this. When you're writing a character, and like I just made that assumption that, this is Jody because she's in the UP and she lives in a serene setting. This is Jody's life. Do you worry about people thinking it's you? Like you just said, Ellie has abuse in her background. I know when I write characters, I'm like, are people going to think this is me? But we pull bits from every character. But do you ever feel like you're kind of putting yourself too much out there when you write characters?
Sometimes, but I think we, when we write stories, we pull from maybe a little bit from ourselves, but from other people we know,
right?
Different experiences we've had. So she's really based on no one in particular.
Okay. Full disclaimer. where did you get the idea for the book?
Well, the idea, as you had brought up, we had worked on that movie, Aquarians.
Yeah.
And I worked on two film projects that year. The first was that movie in January of 16. And then in December of 16, I worked on the Northbound series, season two. So by the time spring rolled around, I had all this creative energy and no outlet for it. And like you were saying, usually there are opportunities where we live, in the UP especially. So I thought, well, what am I going to do now? I've got nothing. And I had all this creative energy. And the story just came to me one day. And I saw it kind of like a movie in my mind. But I didn't know what to do with that.
Right.
Because I'm not a movie maker. I'm not an author at the time.
Right.
And so what do I do with this? So I spent about a year thinking about it off and on. And the story never really left my mind. So I thought, I've either got to do something with this or just abandon it altogether because it's swirling around in my brain off and on and going nowhere until I actually either do something or just let it go.
Yeah. So what do you do? What's your process then? You have this idea. You've never written a book before. Do you have people you bounce it off of? Do you have people you run your idea by?
Sure.
First, and who are those people? Are they actual writers? Are they just family members?
Okay, so in my case, I had what I call beta readers. So I had three people who I had read the manuscript because they're people I know and trust. Okay. Who would give it to me straight.
Yeah. Which are hard to find.
It's hard to find. But the reason for that is you want to know, are you on the right track with the story? Is it appealing to the people who like that certain genre that you're writing for? And that feedback is really important. And you have to really trust the people you're passing your manuscript off to, because it's like handing your baby off to a stranger. Yeah. It really is. And you're really opening yourself up to that, to being criticized. But you need that. You need, whether it's good or bad, you need to hear it.
You can't move forward without it, really, right?
Yes, exactly. Because you kind of get at a stalemate, and you're like, is anybody going to like this?
Right.
I don't know. So the feedback is good.
Yeah.
And then you can move on once you have that.
My guest is Jody Hinman. She's the author of The Hole They Dug For You. What genre? I keep calling it a mystery. Is it a mystery? Is it a suspense or just a drama?
Suspense.
Okay.
A little bit of a thriller, mystery, all rolled up into one. Yeah.
Okay. Where can people find it, Jody?
People can find this at Amazon.
Amazon.
Okay. Yes.
And you're getting a, this is exciting. We just pulled this up. You're getting a 4.9 stars on Amazon. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I think you'll take that.
I'll take it.
And on the other one, the other site, you were getting a 4 out of 5. And I thought that was very telling, because you have 2 5-star, 2 4-star, 2 3-star. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people that know you are going to, or any writer for that matter, they're going to give you 5 stars unless they secretly don't like you. So the fact that a couple people gave you 3 stars, that tells me it's an honest assessment. So 4 out of 5 stars in your first book, I don't think that's too bad, right?
I'll take it.
All right. So talk me through how long did this take to write?
Well, I'd say the first draft went pretty quick. Once I wrote the first chapter and then just kind of left it alone for months and months. And then once I picked it up, the first draft went rather quickly, but it was basic. It really needed more to it. So I would put it away for a while and come back to it, enhance it some more, and make things better.
Yeah.
You know, each time I edited.
Sure. So like the first time you sat down to when you actually submitted it, what kind of time period are we talking about there?
Well, I think I first submitted it in 20. It was a while 2020. Ago.
Okay.
2020. And I submitted it to a literary agent, and they didn't pick it up. And that's normal. It was rather rough.
Mm.
So in hindsight, that was perfect, because it needed more work, for sure. And then COVID came around, and I felt I was ready to submit it, but literary agents were just like not open to any submissions at all.
Mm.
So then like, well, now what do I do? And then I decided to self-publish.
Okay.
I decided I'm just going to go that route because I have more control over the situation.
Right.
So.
All right. That's pretty good. That's fast turnaround too, I would say, for a book. It sounds like if you submitted it in 2020, it took you like 2 years or less.
Well, I started writing it in 18. So
yeah, that's what I mean.
While,
that's impressive.
It is a process.
Okay, Jody Hinman is here. Author Jody Hinman. She wrote the book The Hole They Dug For You, which you can find on Amazon. We'll talk more to Jody about her process and about her book. And then I want to find out more about the UP and what you're watching on TV. Are you ready for that?
Okay.
Jody Hinman is here. This is Peach Wobba Nightlight. Anders Lindwall is here at 7:20 talking about his film Green and Gold, which he directed and co-wrote. That'll be fun as well. It's all about storytelling tonight and all about the UP. This is Peach Wobba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Our recent reporting explored the massive contributions to Donald Trump's inaugural fund, reportedly reaching $170 million. What are the rules as to how that money is spent? The short answer is, there aren't any. The Federal Election Commission allows private donations to support inaugural activities. This year, that's a parade, a rally, two luncheons, a tea, three dinners, three inaugural balls, and fireworks at Trump's Sterling Golf Club. The FEC requires reporting of donations over $200, but sets no limits or dictates how it's used. Let's say that the Trump inauguration has 12 events and they cost an astronomical $2 million each, a whopping $24 million. That leaves $146 million left. When the inauguration is over, will we know how the leftover money will be used? We won't. While a Trump campaign source told the New York Times some would be used for Trump's presidential library, there are no rules dictating how that money is used. The Inaugural Fund Integrity Act is expected to be reintroduced in Congress in January, which would set a limit of $50,000, require immediate disclosure of contributions over $1,000, and ban corporate and super PAC donations. That's a start, but the legislation still doesn't require disclosure of how that extra money gets spent. Find out more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Jim from Appleton says Uriah Heep is an old school band name. It is. But do you think it's a bad band name, Jim? I do remember Uriah Heep. I don't know. How was that come up with? Like, how did people come up with that? Bridget, she's in the 818, says Limp Bizkit. Very, very strange. And then Bridget continues, TMI, too much information. I mean, most of these suggestions tonight involve male genitalia. It's not
all sex related names.
Pretty bizarre. Like. Except your yours did too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Toad the Wet Sprocket. Mine is the most innocent. Although that what probably has something.
Yeah, what does wet sprocket mean?
I don't know. You want to Google it?
I don't know if I do.
Well, you think their FBI is gonna open a file on you or something?
I don't know.
All right, Anders Lindwall, director of Green and Gold, will be here at 7:20 talking about his new film that opens January 31st. There is a Packer connection, folks. So, and it looks like just a really fun film, heartwarming, poignant, very anxious to see how the film plays because there are so many movies that are set in Wisconsin. And I guess, you know, it's a toss-up. You know, some do well, some don't. But I think Wisconsin is very relatable, typically. I think we're sort of like, We're the kind of the fabric of America, if you will. Would you say that's accurate, Jody?
I would agree with that.
You're the UP. That could be Wisconsin,
people
really.
People are kind and they're fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. All right. That is the voice of Jody Hinman. She's the author of The Hole They Dug For You, a new book that you can purchase on Amazon, set in the UP, where Jody is from. And it's reviewing well on Amazon. She's self-published, which seems to be the route a lot of people are taking these days.
Yes.
And I've had self-published authors on this show at times. And, you know, I've read part of their books and I've gone, I wouldn't be reading this if people didn't self-publish. I think it's just such a great option that we have that now, right?
Oh, it's a wonderful option.
Yeah.
And you have so much more control of your
right.
product, what you're producing.
Yeah. You could just write anything and publish it, right?
Well,
are there
well,
people
you could, I mean. But it is a process. It is professionally done. It,
yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong. You don't just slap it out there. You know, you get a professional editor and
oh yeah,
and all that.
It's right.
Like an indie film. You know.
Sure.
You're responsible from beginning to end, whether you do those tasks or not yourself.
Okay.
It remains to be, you know, seen. But you are responsible.
It's always so important, I think, too, to have an extra set of eyes or people that, as you said before, shoot you straight and really are honest with you. Because at the end of the day, criticism is hard to take, but you want people to read it and enjoy it. And you want to be able to write another book, and you want to have the motivation to do so, right?
Right. Right. I would not want to put something out there
that
would embarrass me, myself, you know.
Correct.
Right.
So we talked about how long it took you to write this. How long was the story inside you before you decided to put pen to paper, so to speak?
The story was, it took about a year for me to do something with it. Yes. Because I wasn't sure if I wanted to write it as a book. Or if I wanted to write a movie manuscript.
Screenplay, right.
But I eventually decided on the book because I really liked Ellie and I really wanted to just dig in and deepen with my characters. And
you could be so much more detail-oriented, too, in a book, I think, than you can with a screenplay where you have to hit certain beats. Right. All right, so if the audience will indulge me for a minute here, I just want to geek out on some writing talk. Talk me through your writing process. Do you write every day or when the mood catches you? Do you have a place in your house you like to go to write? Do you have coffee, tea? What do you do? Talk me through Jody's process.
Okay, so we did set up a room in our house. We call it the writing room.
Okay.
At first, I had this little itty-bitty table on my laptop, but we eventually put a desk in there and made it comfortable. And I write most mornings. And I'll write for several hours and then I'll go work out or whatever, take a walk, and then the wheels start turning again about what I had just written. And then and then I come back and I maybe enhance what I've written.
Okay.
And
just tweak it and
just keep just like making it better.
Such a process. So in the morning you're fresh. I think most writers that I talk to anyway seem to be more fresh in the morning. They like to get up, get that coffee going. You're also right out of like REM sleep or dream world, and you can kind of translate creativity to the page. Do you find that?
Well, sometimes I will wake up with ideas and have to quickly write them down before I forget.
Sure.
So, yeah.
All right. And then do you have, does living in the UP spark any kind of creativity? I've interviewed a few other writers from there. There are filmmakers from the UP. And I have this kind of romantic vision of the UP. I live very close to the UP, right across the river, so I'm not that far away. But do places like that enhance creativity where you feel kind of, not Iron Mountain is a city. You're not out in the sticks, but does it enhance creativity in any way?
Well, sure it does. The area that I live in, it reminds me of quite a bit. It's quite a bit like the area I grew up in.
Okay.
So when I started working on a few film projects, I got inspired, just like the fresh ideas. Like the area just sparked a lot of memories from where I grew up in the country.
Okay.
So it all just kind of blended together.
Connected.
I feel connected. Yeah. And so when you're out for walks and looking at nature, sure, ideas come to you and it's fun.
That's great. And what authors have influenced you, Jody, would you say?
Well, I try not to be influenced by other authors.
Sure.
But I am currently reading like Freida McFadden. She's great with twists and turns.
Okay.
That's a lot of fun.
All right. Hold that thought. We're going to do the news. Sure. We'll have a couple more minutes with Jody when we come back. I'm going to also ask you what you're watching on TV, which is what I ask everybody who comes on the show. So have something ready.
All right.
All right. Jody Himnen is here. Anders Lindwall joins me at 7:20 to talk about his film Green and Gold, which opens January 31st. We'll be right back after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwamba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition. Jeff Wright, candidate for Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instructions, will be here live. We'll spend a half an hour getting to know him and why he wants the job. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. 15 months after the Hamas sneak attack, Israel and the terror outfit reached tentative three-phase ceasefire hostage release deal. The first phase is to begin on Sunday. President-elect Trump had a hand in it.
Obesity would no longer be defined.
Remarkably, Biden White House sources acknowledged this deal was in part brokered by an envoy of the incoming administration, as well as the staff of the current one. President-elect Trump says the deal, quote, could have only happened as a result of his victory. He adds in a post, this is only the beginning of great things to come for America and indeed the world.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. This continues to happen. Alexander Justin White of Durham, North Carolina.